Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now back to Ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
Welcome back. It's 34 after. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been listening already, well, we consider that a sign of high intelligence. And another example of high intelligence is our good friend Gene Siciliano. Gene is the author of Finance for the Non-Financial Manager. He is a CPA, a certified professional accountant, and he's here to talk to us about how we can get not just more sales, but the profitable kind, the really good kind. Gene, welcome back to the show.
Thanks very much, Jim. Great to be back with you.
It's good to have you back. And, you know, Gene, small business owners work so hard to get people to come in their doors, to call them, to go to their website, to do business with us. We just want to make sales so badly. Sometimes we make bad sales, don't we?
We do. Sometimes we do.
And what's that look like?
Pardon me, what's it look like?
Yeah.
Well, if you make a sale that is of a product that you're not making a profit on, but you don't know you're not making a profit on it because you sell that product along with a lot of others and all the costs kind of get mixed together,
mm-hmm.
and you get an income statement that says gross profit, but you don't really know where it came from. You could be selling your most high-volume item could, in fact, be a loss leader, and you don't know it.
Mm-hmm.
Companies wonder why they're struggling to get something remaining at the bottom line, and the answer is because they haven't dealt with that. Which are the products that are producing my profit and which are not? And which are the customers that are producing my profit and which aren't? What are your most profitable customers? Are they really your largest customers? And the answer is maybe not.
Sometimes volume can be a good thing, even if it's not all that profitable, right?
Sometimes it can, because it can carry the overhead of the business while you sell other things that are more profitable.
But cash flow.
You can't do that without knowing. You got to know. Otherwise, it's an accident, and that's dangerous.
If you actually break even on a product or a relationship, or even maybe lose a little money on a product line or a relationship with a customer, that's one thing. But it better be by design, shouldn't it?
Absolutely, that's right. We see companies, for example, that develop relationships with big box stores, and suddenly their volume goes up by 300 or 400%. That can be a good thing because it can create their company, it can put their company on a map. But if they've done such a bad job of negotiating that they're losing money and it's not covered by the other products they sell, they could, in fact, be signing the death warrant of their company.
Well, exactly, especially since most small businesses are undercapitalized, and doing business with that big company is going to demand that you find new ways to capitalize your company, probably in new expensive ways, right?
Well, too many companies capitalize their companies either with their own credit cards or by increasing their debt.
Right.
And increasing your debt is a slow death way to capitalize your company.
Well, another thing that happens is that we capitalize our company with cash flow. And if everybody pays us early, or at least on time, that's great. But the first time things slow down a little bit and our customers start taking an extra 2 weeks or maybe even 30 days to pay us, we start getting into trouble.
That's true. But, you know, that's a problem that can be a high-class problem. If that's profitable receivables you're waiting to collect, that's what bank credit lines are for, to carry
right.
you through that collection period.
If it's profitable.
If it's profitable. But if it's not, all you're doing is draining your company effectively and gradually transferring ownership to the bank or wherever you borrow the money from. And that's why knowing the profitability of what you sell is so important.
For years, Gene, I've talked about if you walk down the street and you see somebody you know that's a business owner, and you find, you know, they look like they've just been run over by a truck, and they don't know why, and they're walking around saying, "Did you get the license number of the truck that hit me?" That's a business owner that thought they were successful because they were doing so much business until they found out that they were not profitable and somebody else had their cash, and they literally couldn't stay open, even though they had business, maybe record business. They literally couldn't keep their doors open because they ran out of cash.
No question. Lots of companies have sold themselves into bankruptcy.
Say that again.
A lot of companies have sold themselves into bankruptcy.
Sold themselves into bankruptcy. Ladies and gentlemen, that ought to make a few of you the sweat pop out on your forehead a little bit. If you're doing that, this is something you got to be careful about. You can literally succeed yourself out of business. When we come back, Gene's going to help us identify how to find those customers and those product lines that help us to be successful by being profitable. And that's what we've got to do. Otherwise, we won't be in business very long. 20 till, we'll be right back with Gene Siciliano. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me. Joe Cocker, ladies and gentlemen. Crazy man. Serious rocker. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Gene Siciliano was here too, by the way. Gene is the author of Finance for the Non-Financial Manager, and he helps companies like yours and mine to do a better job with their in doing business, whether it be the financial part, whether it be finding the right customers, which is what we're talking about right now. And I mentioned earlier that Gene's a CPA. That just happens to be one of his designations. Gene, that's not really how you make a living anymore, is it?
No, it's not. For 20 years now, I've been a financial management consultant to companies. CPAing a background is just one of the tools that I bring to what I do with clients.
Right. And if someone wanted to contact you, tell us how they do that.
They can do it either by my website, which is www.cfoforrent, that's cfoforrent.com. Or they can pick up a phone and call my toll-free number, 888-788-6534.
Now, your book is available wherever books are sold, right?
It is.
Can we find out more about it on your website?
You can find out more about it on the website. You can buy it on my website, or you can get it at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and a host of other places.
All right. Check it out when you get a chance, folks. Okay, Gina, how do we find the good customers, the ones that not only give us business but pay us on time and the ones from which we can make a profit?
Well, Jim, this is the idea that I want to share with you this morning is not so much about finding the customers that will be profitable. It's about understanding the profit that is delivered by the customers you have and by the products you sell today, so you can make decisions either to keep them or to not keep them because you know how much profit they're producing. So we're talking about looking at costs of the things you sell and understanding the real profit. And the real profit is a term that some folks have heard but probably don't really understand well. It's called contribution margin. And what it really means, and here's is that you take the variable cost and the fixed cost and you separate them so that you measure the cost of a sale by just capturing its variable cost. That means the cost that you incurred just because of that sale. And mm-hmm. It's a method of accounting that is used all over the country.
So if I have a customer that is that maybe requires a special delivery route or a special... I have to buy some kind of equipment to do business with them or whatever. That's a variable cost that's particular to that customer. Or if
absolutely
I have to send,
right.
Or if I have to send somebody to a technical school to learn how to serve them, then that's a specific cost. In addition to just the other variable things like the regular gasoline that I might have in a delivery or whatever.
Right, exactly. And most companies measure their gross profit. They put in their labor that they cut to build the product and the materials,
right.
But then they throw in the rent and the janitorial service and all the other things that don't relate to that product at all, and they miss the things that you were talking about that really are a part of that product.
Mm-hmm.
you sign a large customer, maybe you have to put on a customer service person just to service that customer. Well, that's a cost of selling to them.
Years ago, when I was working, when I was a consultant myself, Gene, I encountered people who manufactured things, and their financial statement, they were putting all of their labor below the line in the fixed costs on the operating statement, rather than putting the manufacturing labor up in the cost of goods sold.
Jim, still happens today, all the time.
And that's and you can't really manage your activity that way, can you?
You have no idea what your profit is on a sale. You have no idea. And that's those companies are surviving by almost by accident. And that's a shame, because there's a better way.
Right. So give us some ideas about how to do that.
All right. First thing you do is identify all the products you sell and identify the variable costs that go into producing them, and then the variable costs that go into delivering them. And now you've got a contribution margin by product. And now if you sell five of this product and six of that product to customer A, you can group those contribution margins, and you know how much contribution margin, first step, two-step process, is coming from that customer. Then you deduct the variable cost of dealing with that customer, that customer service rep that you had to have, the extra equipment you had to buy to sell to them online and so forth. And now you know how much contribution margin, which is to say real profit, is coming from that customer on that sale. And boy, that is powerful information. So it's
well,
a two-step process.
All right, what is it complicated to be able to manage that kind of information?
Well, it's not complicated because it's information that's in your system, but it does require some competent accounting department to be able to do the work. Mm-hmm. You can't do it with a part-time bookkeeper or sending your books off to the CPA every quarter, as so many small companies do particularly.
You've got to have
a competent accounting department.
Don't you need a software program, though, that will help you differentiate a transaction and give each customer a number and a transaction a number so that when all that goes in, that it gets partitioned into the right little sector, so you can find out, you know, this customer did this much business today and this is how much money I made on them today?
Sure, you do. But, you know, most fully configured modular accounting systems today will already do that. It's just that companies don't expect their software to do that.
Well, many people are sitting out there with software that will do it, but they're not setting it up that way.
That's
and when
right.
we come back, I want you to help us with that. And we'll do that right after these messages, folks. It's 10 till. This is good stuff, ladies and gentlemen. This could be the difference. What Gene's talking about could be the difference for you of survival or not surviving. 10 till. I'm Jim Lysingame. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Inside the pull of gravity, beyond the spectral veil, within our gatherings, the thing we search to no avail. For the constant in the chaos, for the fulcrum in the void.
Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. Mr. Gene Siciliano is our guest, and Gene's the author of Finance for the Non-Financial Manager, which is a book that I recommend to you, encourage you to check out and use to your advantage. Gene, we're talking about how to help people be successful just by paying attention to the transactions that they make, by being a little more deliberate in terms of the financial activity that they have with their customers. You know, Gene, if this were 20 years ago, when all this had to be done by hand, it'd be different. But there are so many, as you call them, modular accounting systems these days. There's no reason not to keep up with your transactions and be able to spit those things out in reports that help you manage your business better, is there?
Well, that's really true, Jim. The accounting software today is so fully configured and has so much capability that is not used by most businesses today.
And we're talking about $150 worth of software.
A little QuickBooks program or some of those things can do this if you have accounting people who know how to use it.
Yeah.
And that's it's a combination of the two, the right kind of software, and most any software will do it today, and people that know how to handle it in your accounting department.
Right.
A lot of companies, unfortunately, really cut corners in their accounting because they think of it as something that they're doing just to file tax returns or to keep their banker happy. And they live with whatever comes rolling out of the machine when you press the button.
Gene, if you don't know how you're doing with the products that you're already selling, how do you know how to price your next project?
Well, that's an excellent question. How do you price a new product? Here's another. What if you knew that there was a product you could stop selling and your profit would go up instead of down?
Say that again.
What if you knew that you had a product you were selling that if you stopped selling it, your profit would go up instead of down? Wouldn't you want
now
to know that?
That's a shock for a lot of people.
Absolutely, and it happens all the time. What if you knew there was a customer that you stopped selling to them entirely, just let them walk away,
fire
your profit
them.
Would go up instead
fire
of down.
The customer.
You bet. And there are probably customers out there that are getting such a low price from you, they know they're getting a good deal better than you know they're getting a good deal. You could raise their prices, and they would say, oh, they got smart on me. Okay. But you don't know that because you don't have the information.
But remember, there may be a customer that you're intentionally offering a good price to, maybe too good a price, because the volume underpins your overall operation in terms of the cash flow.
Sure. And any strategy can be a good strategy if it's a conscious strategy. If you in fact
say that again, Gene. Say that.
Any strategy can be a good strategy if it's a conscious strategy.
That's a very important thing to remember, ladies and gentlemen.
So if you have a customer that, as you say, is a loss leader, but talking about having that customer opens doors for you to other more profitable business, it can be a good strategy. But you got to know it. You got to know it. You don't ever accept the loss without knowing it. It's got to be a conscious strategy. And that's what this method is about.
What are some other things that we need to know?
Well, we need to know, in fact, what are those variable costs that often get buried. For example, you talked about companies that have labor in their below-the-line costs, so they never know what labor is going in to make their product.
Mm-hmm.
Add to that commissions, which often they don't attribute to individual sales. Customer service costs, warranty costs, all the things that get buried in with the numbers, but in fact are directly related to the products we sell.
Mm-hmm.
Companies, they've got to understand which of those costs go to which product so they can say, when I sell this product, it really delivers 10 cents to my bottom line.
If I read your book, Gene, would I find in there a pretty good understanding about how to read an operating statement, a P&L?
Oh, absolutely. You find several.
You got a lot of good stuff in there, don't you?
A lot of good stuff in there. It's a well-written book. I get compliments on it all the time because it's written in clear language, not accounting language or not technical language. It's written for people that aren't accountants.
For regular people like me and you folks. Gene, give us your website again, please.
www.cfoforent.com.
CFO for rent. Thank you, Gene, for being here. Good job today. You probably saved some small businesses today.
Take care, my friend.
Take the rest of the day off, Gene. Thanks, Gene. Gene Siciliano, ladies and gentlemen. He'll be back. I got to go for this hour. I'm signing off just for the day from New Orleans, Louisiana. I'll be back tomorrow. And tomorrow, when I join you, I believe the administrator of the SBA is going to be here on the show, and I'll have a report for you about what I found when I travel around New Orleans. I'm Jim Blassingame. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.